Warehouse economics. The fixed costs of warehousing can account for around 20% of a business's total logistics costs, about the same as the carrying costs for the inventory that warehouses hold. So, together, inventory and warehousing can represent almost half of a business's logistics costs. The warehouse management strategy aims at using the warehouse assets to increase sales through better customer service and multiple lines of service, while decreasing warehouses' costs through more efficient operations. An understanding of warehouse costs is needed to calculate the impact of decisions on a business's bottom line and make sounder, more strategic decisions about warehouse size, number, location, and operation. These supply chain and logistics network design decisions will both shape and constrain warehouse economics. They shape the economics by creating the inherent fixed versus variable cost structures in the system. They constrain the economics because the size of the network along with targeted service levels will dictate how much inventory will be needed for a network of the given size and type. For example, the number of warehouses in the network will affect the total amount of safety stock needed in the network. For example, the square root rule can be used to show how overall safety stock requirements grow when adding warehouses. Supply chain and logistics network design, including the square root rule, is addressed elsewhere. The return on investment formula, gain, cost slash cost x 100, is often used to assess potential investments in warehouse functionality. To complete this analysis, a warehouse manager will need to know the cost of the proposed improvement, for example, the costs of leasing slash purchasing and maintaining an automated picking system, and the anticipated increase in the warehouse's throughput as the gain from the investment. Throughput is defined in the ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary as 1. The rate at which the system generates goal units. Because throughput is a rate, it is always expressed for a given time period, such as per month, week, day, or even minute. If the goal units are money, throughput is an amount of money per time period. In that case, throughput is calculated as revenues received minus total variable costs and then divided by units of the chosen time period. 2. In warehousing, it represents the number of goods that are moving through the warehouse at any given moment. In warehouse management, throughput is measured in units of volume for product moving through the warehouse. Understanding warehouse costs is also necessary to create warehouse budgets and to calculate the value of warehousing services that are cross-billed to internal customers or sold to external customers, such as a 3PL. Typical warehouse costs. While different warehouse types, different levels of automation or technology, and different inventory storage levels and cycle times will strongly impact the cost breakdown of each component of warehousing economics, let's look at an example of the cost breakdown for an example warehouse, as shown in Exhibit 4-1. Exhibit 4-1. Example of warehouse cost breakdown. Let's review these cost breakdowns. Note that storage slash space in both categories of handling costs are all direct costs. Direct cost equals 81% of total costs. Storage slash space cost. This category includes the cost of leasing a facility and its land, and or the cost of acquiring land and constructing or renovating a facility, which, in turn, includes cost of labor and materials for construction and depreciation of the facility. Facility rent slash lease costs, or construction and financing costs, facility insurance costs, and property taxes. Building services costs, utility costs, electricity, gas, water, facility and storage racking equipment depreciation, repair, and maintenance costs, depreciation of other equipment, cleaning, and security. Handling cost, labor costs. This is generally a large cost component for most warehouses that are not fully automated. Labor includes wages, salaries and benefits, variable overtime and or bonuses, taxes based on wages slash salary, training and personal protective equipment, for example, safety shoes, suits, masks, respirators. Equipment costs, depreciation or rental cost of equipment, cost of maintenance, repair, and operating supplies, MRO, and variable costs for fuel. Overhead, indirect cost, equals 19% of total costs. Management and administration costs, wages, salaries and benefits, and owned vehicles, sales and marketing costs, advertising, wages, salaries, and benefits, and owned vehicles. Other overhead costs, telecommunications, information technology, hardware, software, data governance, security and recoverability. office equipment and furniture depreciation, bank charges, insurance, postage, and legal/professional fees. Market forces and various strategic choices on trade-offs will impact the relative costs of each of these categories. Organizations tend to invest more in handling equipment and automation in areas where wages are higher. Locating closer to a market will typically increase land costs. Storing high-value goods requires more investment in security. Logistics professionals should therefore establish the relative significance of these categories in their own warehouses and then compare them against data for similar operations to enable like-to-like benchmarking. Costing approaches. Warehouse managers may need to develop specific costs for warehousing services if warehousing costs are assigned internally to another function's budget through cross-billing or when warehousing is part of a 3PL relationship. For the 3PL relationship, costing is an issue for both the provider, who needs to know how to price the services, and the customer, who needs to compare provider options and develop agreements. A key component of warehouse costs is overhead. Overhead captures all indirect costs, such as nonspecific labor costs, expenses associated with the warehouse's space and equipment, for example, insurance, interest, maintenance, and administrative costs. User-specific activities, such as space occupied or labor for loading or checking shipments, are not included in overhead costs. Costing approaches will vary by organization, industry, and type of raw materials/finished goods. In warehouse management, Richards describes two approaches to costing and charging warehouse services. Traditional costing. In the traditional method, a single overhead rate is applied to all warehouse users without regard to the user's actual consumption of indirect costs. This can penalize larger customers and reward smaller ones. For example, customer A is billed for direct costs of $500,000 plus 20% overhead, or $100,000 for a total of $600,000. Customer B is billed for $100,000 plus $20,000 for a total of $120,000. However, customer B may actually consume more warehouse resources proportionally than customer A. Traditional costing may also group together certain costs that would better be kept separate for management control purposes. For example, costs that the warehouse manager can control being grouped with costs that are decided at a higher level. This can result in it being harder to quantify the value of a given efficiency improvement, for example. Despite these issues, traditional costing remains a popular method. Activity-based costing. Alternatively, services can be priced using activity-based costing. This approach reflects the services and capacity the customer actually uses. Activity-based costing is explained more next, along with how this costing method addresses unused capacity. Activity-based costing. The goal of activity-based costing, ABC, is to help separate the profitable from the unprofitable, inventory, customers, by giving management information on how much things are actually costing so unprofitable elements can be identified and perhaps eliminated. The principle behind ABC is that costs are driven by activities that consume resources, including management and administration. For example, if a customer's products require special handling under ABC costing, a proportional share of the costs associated with the required equipment is charged to the account. Activity-based costing is defined below along with other terms. All definitions are from the ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary. Activity-based costing, ABC. In activity-based cost accounting, a model, a time period, of resource costs created as a result of activities related to products or services or other items causing the activity to be carried out. Direct costs, partial definition. In activity-based cost, ABC accounting, a cost that can specifically be traced and is economically feasible to track to a particular cost object, for example, the units produced, a production line, a department, a manufacturing plant. In contrast, if the cost must be allocated across various cost objects, it is an indirect cost. Based on the cost object under consideration, the classification of direct and indirect can change. ABC accounting assumes that more costs traditionally viewed as fixed costs are variable and can be traced to cost objects. Tracing. In activity-based cost accounting, connecting resources to activities to cost objects using underlying causal drivers to understand how costs occur during normal business activities. Cost object. In activity-based cost accounting, anything for which a separate cost measurement is desirable. This may include a product, customer, project, or other work unit. Driver, partial definition. In activity-based cost accounting, an operation that influences the quantity of work required and cost of an activity. Activity-based costing assigns cost drivers to each activity being analyzed. Organizations will select their own cost drivers at various levels of analysis. The goal is to have each driver relate to the actual cost of the activity as closely as possible. For example, if order processing uses the number of orders as its driver, the cost for order processing is traced to the customer or other cost object based on how many orders they place. Customers who place fewer but larger orders use less order processing expense. Drivers are determined through observation and worker interviews. Drivers are checked against actual activity over time to validate relation to actual costs. Then cost rates are developed. Identify warehouse activities, storage, handling, and value added. Estimate each activity cost using records and expert opinion. Set a unit for each activity based on the best cost driver. For example, if warehouse picker labor costs are $100,000 annually and annual picks are estimated at $250,000, the unit rate per pick is $100,000 divided by $250,000 or 40 cents per pick. Identify the customers or other cost objects, use of the activity and apply the rate, then some other ABC costs. The charge to customers includes the following: storage. Rates are determined by factors such as number of pallets or items, cubic volume of rack, square footage of floor space occupied, handling charges. These can include labor hours consumed, for example, in travel to spots, picking, hacking, loading, supervisor hours, equipment or systems used, for example, unloading, quantity or unit type, for example, pallet, palletizing, quantity of cartons, put away, quantity or cubic volume, order picking, quantity, visits to pick slot, lines on pick order. Value-added service charges. These are special services performed at the warehouse that contribute to the value of the finished product and are outside the usual scope of warehouse services. For example, warehouse personnel may kit components in advance, apply promotional labels, or assemble promotional displays. Overhead that has not been traced to activities and a profit margin are added to complete the charge to the customer. Activity-based costing and excess capacity. Unused capacity exists in most logistics activities. For example, a warehouse should not be allowed to become 100% full because it becomes very inefficient. Some empty pallet locations are needed at all times. Employees also need to take breaks. On the other hand, too much excess capacity, large amounts of empty pallet bays or employees with no assignments, is inefficient and should be reduced through good management. How does activity-based costing handle unused capacity? If the system were to charge each cost object, such as a customer, for a portion of the unused capacity, this would encourage managers to minimize excess capacity, which could lead to too little excess capacity. It would also distort how profitable the cost objects actually are. Therefore, ABC does not charge excess capacity to any given cost object. Instead, this is the sole indirect cost charged to the organization as a whole per time period. This cost can be in two separate accounts, a planned excess capacity account and an unproductive hours or unused space account. If this is done, capacity utilization levels can be determined for each activity. A spreadsheet with this information can then be established and target utilization levels can be set for activities. Management control can be fine-tuned to refine capacity utilization, for example, by reassigning picking staff to put away duties.